Mark chapter number 4. I tell you, I've been preaching here just in a short period of time. Be preaching 30 years, February of this coming year. And there's been many times that I felt God just really send a message. There's been times that I've had sermons. There's been times that I've just had a little talk. But I don't know if I've been aware anymore in my whole ministry of God wanting to send a life-changing message, rescue to somebody today. I'm aware of it. I was praying this morning. I said, Lord, I believe you're wanting to change somebody's life. I said, we're going to church this morning, and it's not just going to be us going to church. There's somebody's life at stake, possibly somebody's destiny at stake. That's the way I feel in my heart, Brother Darrell. Amen. Mark chapter 4, let's begin reading in verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse number 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Verse 35, he said, let us pass over unto the other side. Chapter 5, verse 1, the first part of the verse, and said, and they came over unto the other side of the sea. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, I ask you now to take, Lord, and use your word. And Father, allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us and through us here this morning. Lord, I am not here, dear God, for show or a performance. Lord, I am here as your messenger and your mouthpiece, delivering thus saith the Lord. And our Father, I pray you'll put that special anointing on me that makes preaching effective. Our Father, I believe I'm standing in between somebody and some devastating circumstances. But I pray you help us today to preach, Lord, as a dying man. Lord, to dying people. Lord, without you we can't do nothing. Without you we can't make it. And our Father, we're leaning on you, your sufficiency. We're leaning on you, Lord, and trusting you, God, to speak. Do what you want to do. Do what you will to do. Lord, I pray. We'll thank you, Lord. Please don't let us hinder you. Lord, don't let us get in your way. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open there, please, if you would. This particular passage of Scripture, this particular scene, is also found in Matthew chapter number 8 and also Luke chapter number 8. And as we look at these, we'll be back and forth and pointing out different things, but I'm interested in the fact that they stated before they ever got in the ship, let us go over unto the other side. And I know it didn't look like they was going to make it. I know it didn't look like it. I'm sure it didn't feel like it. But the fact remained, Jesus said it. We're going to the other side. Chapter 5, verse 1, and they came over unto the other side. I like the way Matthew records it in chapter 8 of Matthew's gospel, he said, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him." And then it goes on to tell about the storm and so on. And then in verse 28 it says, "And when he was come to the other side." Do you notice that? When he got in the ship, the disciples followed him. And then it said in verse 28, "And when," not if, but "and when he was come to the other side." In other words, Matthew makes it very clear, he's the reason they got in the ship, and he's the one that's going to launch, he's the one that launched, and he's the one that's going to land. And guess what? I'm going to make it not because I'm paddling. I'm not going to make it, my friend, because of any enduring ability on my part. I'm going to tell you why I'm going to make it. Because I followed him into the ship. And thank God the Bible said, "And when he was come to the other side," I'm going to make it because he cannot fail. He is going to make it. In fact, he's already made it. Hallelujah. Well, I like that. Oh, bless his name. I'm telling you that in Luke's account in chapter 8, it said there, "And they launched forth," verse 22, and then verse 26, it said, "And they arrived." Amen. So we have in our passages today that they had the announcement, the promise, the declaration before they ever got in the ship, yeah, "Let us go over to the other side." I want you to note that word "over," and I want you to notice the word "other side." I'm glad there is a other side. Now, I know the way a lot of people live now, you couldn't tell by the way they live that there is the other side. Their whole life consists of this side, and what's on this side, and what I have now, and who I am now. Their whole life evolves around this side, and never give thought of the other side, and how can I make it to the other side. Now, I know that in this passage it's not talking about going to heaven, but we can certainly draw that application from the Scripture. I'm glad there's the other side. Amen. But what good would there be to have an other side if there wasn't a way to get over to the other side? Oh yes, amen. I'm glad Jesus is the path. I'm glad Jesus is the way. As He declared of His own lips, He is the way, the truth, and the life. "No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Now a lot of people are not interested in a lot of people wants to get to the other side. A lot of people wants to get to the other side. You can't hardly find anybody that'll tell you, "You know, preach, I want to go to hell." Yeah. Nobody will tell you that. They'll say, "You know what, I want to go to heaven." But the thing of it is, you'll not make it to the other side unless you're in the same ship with Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Not every ship's going to the other side. Yeah. Amen. There's a lot of other little ships floating around, a lot of all kinds of religions. And I'll tell you what, there wasn't but one boat on that sea that had Jesus on board. Yeah. Amen. And that's the only one that made it. Amen. I want to tell you, dear friend, Jesus has made it very clear there is the other side. There is the other side. And the only way you can get there is to follow Him into the ship. And here's the thing. When you follow Jesus into the ship, my friend, you better know this. He's going to be leading you away from this side. And that doesn't happen when you draw your last breath. I want to tell you, when you get saved, God then and there starts weaning you away from this side and gets your focus on the other side. Amen. We've got too many people professing that they're going to the other side, but they're living on this side, not even gotten a ship with Jesus yet. Amen. Let me be honest about it. A lot of people not even interested in getting the ship with Jesus because they know they're going to be launching and leaving some things. They know they're going to be leaving some things. Now if you could take your sin with you, a lot of people would get on board. If you could take, amen, and not have to discard any friends or anything, then a lot of people get on board. I want to tell you, when you get on board with Jesus, my friend, He begins immediately to launch you from your side and take you to the other side. Amen. So if you're saved, you're not on this side. Amen. You're here, but you're in this world, but you're not of it. The truth is every believer is already aboard the old ship of Zion. And thank God we've already set sail. And as we're setting sail of the journey, we're experiencing the storms of life. But here's the thing I want you to notice, that when they first got on that ship, I jotted this down, they were following Christ. When they first got on that ship, they were in fellowship with Christ. When they first got on that ship, they had faith in Christ. When they first got on that ship, they were faithful to Christ. But soon after, something happened. Their excitement, their enjoyment, and their expectancy began to disappear. And all of a sudden, we find that same crew that got on board faithful to Christ, faith in Christ, following Christ, fellowshipping with Christ. Now they're going in and even got to the point to where they say, "Master, do you not even care?" What about that? Jesus said, "You're going over to the other side." But here, they got on board the ship initially with that excitement, with that expectancy, and with that enjoyment. We're going to the other side. Wow, we're sailing with Jesus. Praise the Lord. He's taking us away from something and taking us to something. Hallelujah. But soon after they got aboard the ship, the same ship with Jesus, the great storm arose. The great tempest began to come against the ship. As Mark records it, the Bible says there that there arose a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship. That's one thing for waves to beat on a ship, but when it starts beating into the ship, and the Bible said that it was now full, that's when you better be alarmed. That's when the natural man's going to be alarmed. But here's my whole thought. When they first got on board, there was the enjoyment, there was the excitement, there was the expectancy of going to the other side and glad to be on board. But when the storm came and circumstances that were negative began to come into their life, all of a sudden that same crowd that once was excited and enjoying the thoughts of going over to the other side had now got over. Going over. I want to preach if the Lord will help me on getting over. Going over. Now I'm afraid a lot of people in our churches have. They've got over. Going over. Now going over, the devil can't do much about that. The devil can't stop that because I want to tell you, going over is based on one thing and one thing only, and know this, and that is Jesus and His Word. You don't make it because anything you do. You don't make it, my friend, because you live to a certain standard. And I still believe God's people ought to live right. I still believe God's people ought to be the standard in this country. Amen. Amen. I'm tired of the world being the standard for the church. It's time the church get back to the old-fashioned way of being the standard for the world. You can't tell the difference. After a while, I'm sure many of you will walk down the street of Rogersville for Heritage Days. I guarantee you, you could not hardly, for the life of you, separate by looking which ones are saved and which ones are not. Which ones go to church and which ones are not. Amen. I'm telling you, a lot of people have gotten over, going over, thinking they're going under. See, you can't get excited about going under if you're expecting to go under. I mean, you can't get excited about going over if you're expecting to go under. And I know you may not say it verbally, but how many people in their life and with their attitudes and with their mentality, my friend, amen, they're saying, "I'm about to go under." We've even heard testimonies already here this morning of people going through this and that and another thing and pressures on every hand. And I have to agree, my friend, the pressures is enormous. More than I've ever seen in my 30 years old, soon to be 30 years of being saved. I want to tell you the pressures are great. But don't ever forget, friend, we're sailing on. Don't ever forget, friend, we're not going under. I'm going to jump ahead and make this statement. My friend, had Jesus let that ship go under, He would have made a submarine out of it, praise God. They'd have still made it, hallelujah. Because had they failed to make it, that would have meant Jesus lied. Jesus didn't mean what He said. Jesus, my friend, was less than the storm. Oh, we're going to make it. Hallelujah. You, if you're saved, I mean genuinely saved, not just religious, not just a church member, but if you're genuinely born again, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, evidenced by sanctified life, you can shout, thank God, because you've made it already. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. But I began to notice they had gotten over. Going over. Have you got over it? It's sad. The quietest place in town today is many churches. You can go to any city of your choice and the quietest assembly will not be at the ball game. It'll be down at the house of God. And I'm going to tell you, that ought not to be. But the one reason behind that is that a lot of people, Brother Brooks, has gotten over, going over, thinking I'm going under. Amen. The church today is filled, as the Lord allows me the privilege to preach in a number of places. I'm going to tell you, I see so many people that are disheartened and discouraged and defeated and depressed and distraught and despondent and downcast and discontented and distracted and dry and dull and dead. And neither of them describes the will of God. Why is it that we are over going over is because we've got our focus on what is happening instead of who said that we're going to make it. Are you listening? Oh yes. This was not just a little sprinkle. This was a severe storm. The Bible said in Matthew 8:24, and the ship was covered. The ship was covered with the waves. That word covered means to veil or to hide. You couldn't even see the ship because the waves had covered it. We're not talking about something that, hey, they'd look over at each other and say, boys, it's going to be all right. It's just a little shower. It's just a little sprinkle. Just a little wind, a little bit. No, the waves was covering the ship. That's what the Bible said. And here's what they prayed. Lord, save us. Verse 25 of Matthew 8, Lord, save us, we perish. Does that sound like somebody that's going over? Come on now, does that sound like somebody that's going over? Does that sound like somebody that Jesus told, you're going over? No, that sounds like somebody admitting, I'm going under. Amen? Mark 4:37, the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. You know what happens to a full ship that's full of water? Hello? You know what happens to a full ship? It goes down. It sinks unless Jesus is on board. I had to jump ahead and make that statement. Luke 8:23, and they sailed. And they were, the Bible says, as they sailed, the verse goes on to say, they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they said, Master, Master, we perish. So these verses, they were admitting by saying we perish that we're going under. Didn't say a thing about them going over. Jesus said that. Watch this right here. The definition of the word perish means to destroy. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus didn't tell them you're going to perish. Jesus said, you're going the other side. This is what they were saying. You better watch out. I'm jumping ahead right here too a little bit, but that's all right. You better watch out that when what you're saying is more important than what He said. You better watch it when what you say carries more attention and more faith and more belief than what He said. Jesus said, you're going the other side. You say you're perishing, which is the truth. Which is the truth. It means to destroy. It means to put out of the way entirely. This is going to take me out, preacher. My circumstance is going to take me out. It also means to be lost or ruined. It means to die. Now watch this right here. That word perish is in the present tense. Wasn't when they first got in the ship. But now, there's a storm. But now, there's a situation. But now, there's a circumstance. It's in the present tense. How many of you right here today going through a storm? I mean, not just a sprinkle. I mean a severe storm. And bringing about a struggle, even in your life, spiritually. But I noticed this right here. We perish is also in the middle voice. Now, I don't know all about that, but I can read and I can study. And here's what the middle voice says. Indicates the subject is performing the action upon himself. They said we're perishing. The Savior wasn't doing that to them. They said we're perishing. The storm wasn't doing that to them. They said we perish. They were doing that to themselves. Every time I've been defeated as a Christian, every time I've been discouraged as a Christian, every time that I've been in spiritual decline as a Christian, it wasn't the storm that did that to me. It wasn't the situation that did that to me. It wasn't the Savior nor the Spirit of God nor the saints of God that did that to me. I did it to myself. Amen. Going over was based on fact. Going under was based on feelings. Going over was based on faith. Going under was based on fear. Going over was based on His word and promise. Going under is based on my worry and panic. No worry warts in here besides me, I can tell. Going under is based on what He said. Going over is based on what He said. Going under is based on what I'm seeing. Four times in the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. It's not what you can see. It's not even what you feel. What is the facts? Amen. Going over is based on what Jesus knows. Going under is based on what I think. Amen. Wonder how many in the service today is probably convinced you're going under. If God don't do something, you're going under. Are you listening? All right. I want you to listen to this right here. This is probably the only point I'll get today or this morning. I want to waller it out, Lord, help me. I began to ask myself, why? Why did they get over going over? They had the same promise as when they first got aboard the ship. They still had that same promise. They still had the same presence of the Lord. They still had the same plan. They still had the same everything. But yet they're saying, we perish. They'd got over it. Going over was still intact. Going over was still the fact. But they were saying, we're going under. This thing's going to take us out of the way. We're not going to make it. And this is very simple, and I want you to get it. Why was it that they got over going over? And if you'll be honest, listen, I'm a pastor, overseer, and just what little I can see with these little eyes of mine, I can see that we've got people that's getting over it. I mean, we've got people that's losing their joy. We've got people losing their victory. We've got people, my friend, that's starting to become more and more unfaithful to the house of God. Amen. Are you listening? Just like Miss Shannon said, she's not the only one that the devil's told that to. Why don't you just stay at home? You might as well just stay at the house. You might don't need to go to church. Do you think the Holy Spirit's ever going to tell you that? Do you think the Word of God's going to tell you that? I'll tell you that's coming from the lungs of the devil himself when he'll tell you to stay away from God's house. When he'll tell you to stay away from church. That's not God. Amen.
That's right.
Say amen right there. But here's number one. Now this is so simple well, you'll miss it if you're not careful. Number one, they got over going over. Number one, because they had forgotten the saying or the message. Why was it that when the waves had covered the ship, the waters had beat into the ship, why was it that Peter, no doubt Peter was on board. No doubt Andrew was on board and no doubt John was on board. Why didn't one of them say to the other, hey, wait a minute, I know it looks bad and I know it feels bad and I know that, but don't forget, Jesus said. Don't forget the promise. Don't forget the message that came from the lips of the Savior who cannot lie. But not once, Brother Craddock, did they remember the message. Not once did they remember the message. I want to ask you, on board that ship, where was the exhorters? On board that ship, where were the encouragers? Where was that one that would step up in the dark cloud of despondency and say, wait just a minute. We're not people that live by sight. We are people that live by faith. And we're going to make it because He said so. Where is the exhorters in our churches today? I didn't ask where the complainers is because that's a question you don't have to ask. It's pretty evident where they are because most of us are there. Amen? Most of us are them. But where's the exhorters that despite the news, that despite how it feels, that despite, my friend, the circumstances of life and the waves and the severity of the storm will stand up and say, I still choose to believe God. Why was it that Paul was the Christian that he was? I believe, listen, in Acts 27, he experienced the greatest storm of his life. I mean, he hadn't seen sun or moon or stars in many days. It looked all hopeless. Looked like they were not going to make it. Looked like all help was gone. All hope was gone. And the Bible said that, but after long abstinence. Hey, man. Paul said, in essence, I'm tired of looking at the storms. I'm tired of looking at the darkness. I want to go talk to somebody that'll brighten up my day. I want to go talk to the one that's in charge. I want to go talk to the one that's in control. And he steeled away by himself and had a season of prayer. And Brother J.R., he comes up out of that prayer meeting, steps back aboard the ship, on the top side of the ship. Storm still raging, still dark, still couldn't see the sun, moon, or stars. And he said, be of good cheer. Wasn't a thing to be of good cheer about as far as what you could see. Wasn't a thing to be of good cheer about for what you could feel. The wind was still blowing, the waves are still beating, and the ship was still rocking and rolling. Amen. I want to tell you, Paul got beyond the physical and the natural, and he got into the realm of the holy. He got into the realm of the supernatural. Got a word from God. And he steps up and says, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Here aboard this ship in our text that we read, there was a group of men, there was a group of people, my friend, had the promise of God that were going to the other side, had the presence of the Savior. I mean, had it all. But a storm came and changed their mind and changed their feelings and changed their attitude to the point that they even approached Christ with criticism and questions. Do you not even care? Hey, I'm going to tell you, every time we come to the house of God, there's going to be somebody here in among us that's going through it and feel like they're going under. Most of my preaching, Brother Carroll, I mean most of my preaching here and out, most of my preaching is basically geared of trying to get God's people to keep their head above water. Yes, friend, there are storms in the Christian life, but I never find where the Christian life is supposed to be a struggle and a drudgery and a toil and a job. Are you listening? Oh, they forgot the message. They forgot the saying. They forgot what Jesus said. Hey, I want to ask you something. Right here is the recorded Word of God. This is what Jesus has said. These promises, Brother Brian, is what Jesus has said. But in spite of this, in spite of the promises, when storms come, we fall all to pieces. We're just like those men on board that ship. We would not verbally say, "Master, carest thou not that we perish," but we think it. We feel it. We've got His Word. We've got, Brother Mason, His promise. We've got it. We know what He said. And He cannot lie. That's the point we need to rest on tonight. This morning, that God's Word is based on His character. And His character is, He cannot lie. If He says something, my friend, there's nothing that can alter that. There's nothing that can stop that. Nothing. Darkness can't stop it. Difficulties can't stop it. Demonic forces and devils can't stop it. God's Word is based on His character. We have His Word, but we still collapse. You know why? We forget it. Here's the thing. Why is it, listen, why is it though we have a Bible that's filled with the promises of God, why is it, Brother Rob, that we fall all to pieces when the storm clouds come in our life? I'll tell you why. We forget and remember not the things that God has said. The thing the devil wants all of us to do, my friend, is to get detached from this book. Get detached from His Word. Be shocking to all of us if we knew in this building, I'm talking about in this building, how many people that has went the majority of this week, if not the whole week, and have yet to read the Word of God. The only consolation to those people were He said, "We're going to the other side." I saw this while the choir was singing. I'd never seen it before. I thought, Jesus, why were you asleep? He was asleep on a pillow in the hinder part of the ship. Oh, I seen this while the choir was singing. I'm telling you, I about had a fit. You know why He was asleep on the pillow? His Word, the ministry of His Word, was in operation. He didn't have to be on board the ship doing, saying, "Peace be still." And He didn't have to do that. He could be asleep. Why? Because He done sent His Word out. Hey man, Jesus is in, listen, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. We're living in a day, friend, of the ministry of the Word of God. He sent His Word out. Thank God, listen, friend, how many of you, if you had the bodily presence of Jesus with you every day, would get discouraged? How many of us, if we had the bodily, literal presence of Jesus with us every day, how many of us would ever be dry, dull, defeated, discouraged? No, you know what you'd say? Hey, we got Jesus. And we do have the presence of the Lord in the person of the Holy Spirit. We do have that. But I want to tell you, even though that Jesus was on board the ship, they were still perplexed. They were still discouraged. They were still controlled by the storm. And even when Jesus finally got through dealing the storm, He finally turned His attention to them and He said, "Hey, where's your faith?" You know what He's asking Him? Where's your faith to believe what I told you? He built the whole situation on putting them and causing them to depend solely upon the Word. How many times do we get over going over because we forget those times that we read the Bible? Come on now. I'm not by myself here this morning. Those times that you felt like you was going under. Those times it was dark in your life. Those times that you had something going on in your life that you couldn't even hardly tell nobody about. But you got alone and got in this Word. God in prayer, and God gave you a verse. God gave you a promise. God said something to your spirit. Hey, I want to tell you, friend, and then a month or two later, you're all to pieces again. Why? I'll tell you why. Same reason I do. Forget what He said. Forget what He said. What about, listen, what do we think preachers preach to us every week? I mean, I can answer for myself. I don't know about other preachers, but I know for myself. I try to get direction from God. I try to get leadership from the Lord. I try to get the mind of God on what He wants me to preach. Spend some time meditating and studying upon that particular message to have something to feed you with. Why do you think God sends a message to RBT on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Or is it just for information? Is it just so that you can gain some more knowledge about what a verse of Scripture says? No. God sends messages to us to help us to deal with our past, help us to deal with our present, and to help us to deal with our prospective days ahead. And how many people even remembers what the preacher preached the last service? How much effort is made? Come on now. I know this is not a shouting point right here, but that's all right. I wonder how many of RBT makes efforts to remember what was preached. Now, if it's just a little sermonette to christenettes and bassinettes, then don't make no notes. Don't worry about trying to remember it. But if you realize God has sent a word through His servant, through His Spirit, through His Scripture to you on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, or whenever, my friend, guess what? God means for you to get that because He means for it to help you. No doubt about it, people go through storms without some of the necessary assistance from God because they fail to remember His Word. Now wait a minute. That statement I just made, some of you looked at me like, what? Go through a storm without the assistance of God? Here they were in a storm, and what was Jesus doing? Was that not verifying what I just said? Here they are going through a storm and it looked like Jesus wasn't helping them. You know why, Brother Craig? Jesus wanted them to depend on His Word. Now that is not being preached today. You can flip the television on to any of your big preachers on television and about 90% of them, my friend, are preaching a sight-based religion and a sight-based relationship with God. Come and see. Come and see. I don't know what Brother Mark pointed out in Sunday school, friend. Even miracles are not basis for faith. That crowd in John 6 followed Christ because He fed the multitude. You thought every one of them was believers. But then when He dropped the hammer on them and preached, my friend, what it was going to cost them to serve God, what it was going to cost them to live for the Lord, they said, these are hard sayings. My friend, they choked on it and they, every one, walked off and left Him. Every one of them. Every one of them. And you better know this is right, friend. That's in the Scripture. The Antichrist is going to be a miracle worker. Amen. Don't matter if you like it or not. It's in the Bible, friend. Amen. Even that crowd in John in Matthew 7, my friend, that Jesus said the words to, I never depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. They had just got through saying, we have cast out devils in your presence. Hey, I'm going to tell you, friend, you better not be controlled by what you see in the storm. You better not be controlled necessarily even what you see in churches. You better be controlled by one thing and one thing only that will never change, and that is the Word of God. Amen. Churches change, preachers change, our country's changing, but the Word of God will never change. It is forever settled in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. The liberal church community that I am not a part of, they are trying to alter the Word. They're trying to rewrite it. They're trying to simplify it. That, who give them the authority to do that? Amen. Amen. How many people embraces that NIV? How many people embraces that? That is not the Word of God. That is the non-inspired version. That's what it stands for. The new inaccurate version. Amen. Do you think the Holy God of heaven will allow a lesbian to be on the translating committee of His Holy Word? I say not. But there's a bunch of liberal churches in our area that uses the NIV and all that bunch of rot. I want to tell you, it's not God's Word. Are you listening? This is old-fashioned day. This is old-fashioned preaching. We're going to stand on the Word of God because it's the only solid thing that we've got to stand on. Amen. Seasons come and seasons go. People come, people go. But the Word of our God will abide forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Just go ahead and tell it all over the country. That RBT bunch down there is a bunch of old-fashioned Bible-toting, Bible-believing believers. Amen. We're not interested in getting into ecumenical stream. We're not interested in hooking up with every Tom, Dick, and Harry across a religious board. No. We're interested, my friend, in standing true to the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. They had forgotten the message. God sends messages to you because He knows you need it. How many people would say when they go through a storm, oh, you know what? I remember what God said through the preacher Sunday. I know what God sent through the Sunday school lesson Sunday morning. God gave me a word then. Praise God. How much effort are we making to even remember what is preached? I've asked people in this church within 2 minutes after I dismissed, what did I preach that particular service? And they couldn't tell me. That makes me feel good. That makes me feel successful. That makes me feel like, praise God, I'm doing something. Amen. Study, pray, get a word from God. Try to get the mind of God. Preach my heart out. Preach God's heart. And my friend, and then 2 minutes after the service is over, don't even remember what I preached. That's bad. I was preaching Friday night, this past Friday night in Hendersonville, North Carolina. I was on this same identical thought line right here. And I asked the question. I had my hand over the pastor's eyes. Because I knew it wasn't going to be encouragement. And so I asked the question, had my hand over his eyes on the front pew, and I said, how many of this church remembers what this preacher preached Wednesday night? 4 hands was raised in that whole church. I didn't tell him how many, because I just said to him, I'm not telling you how many, because it will not be encouraging. And then we wonder why that same crowd, my friend, in a week or two or a month or two or whenever, they go through a dark, raging, severe storm and all of a sudden they're all in pieces. Mary, listen, the ladies, Brother Mark, you pointed out this morning. In Luke 24, the ladies come to the tomb. The tomb was empty. They were all in pieces. Well, why? Why would you be all to pieces? Seemed to me like you'd want to go shouting around the hillside saying, "Whoa, glory to God, He's alive." But instead, they begin to go around and say, "All right, where'd you lay it? Who took Him?" They're all to pieces. Are you listening? And here's what the Bible said. And I'm going to read it to you. Turn right there and read it. Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 6. The angel said, "He is not here. He is risen." Everybody listening? Amen. Remember. That was the word used. Right. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was with you, was yet in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered His word. You know why they were all to pieces, Brother Downs? Because they were eat up with forgetfulness. Write this down, friend, in your heart and mind. Forgetfulness is always attached to failing and falling. The devil's number one goal in our lives, from the pulpit through the pews, from the oldest to the youngest, the devil's number one goal is to put a distance between you and the Word of God. Amen. Yes, it is the very tool and instrument whereby people are saved. Nobody's saved apart from this book. Amen. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen? That's right. You can't get saved apart from this book. That's why the devil makes all out efforts to keep people that are lost away from preaching. Because God chooses foolishness of preaching to save them that will believe. Amen? That's right. He'll tell you don't go to church. He'll tell you don't go do your thing. Amen? But if you're interested in going to the other side, I'm going to tell you what you better do. You better find somewhere where there is somebody that's unashamedly declaring the Word of God in power and in practice. And you better get exposed to a lot of preaching, because, my friend, if God's going to speak to you and deal with you and work in your heart, it's going to come through it. Amen. How can you call upon whom you've not heard, and how can you hear without a preacher, the Bible says. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They had forgotten the message. Now watch this right here. The Lord gave this to me also while the choir was singing. I like it. I like it when God's speaking to me. Amen. I like it when God's speaking to me. Well, listen, church. This right here will help you. This right here will help you. Let me read the verse. I'm going to read it to you and see if it sticks out to you. John 14:26. Listen, John 14:26. I told you this is going to be the only point I get this morning. But if we'll get it, it'll help us. Jesus in chapter 14 is telling the disciples, of course, he's leaving, he's going away, he's going to die, and so forth, and that there would be another comforter come. Do you remember that? Listen to what verse 26 says. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and come on now, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Amen, Brother Brian. You say, what is that saying? I'm still talking about they had gotten over going over because they'd forgot the saying or the message. The Spirit of God is in me. The Spirit of God is in you if you're saved. You know what the ministry of the Holy Spirit is, Brother Silas? When I get in a storm, oh Lord help us, amen. When the storms are raging, when the waves is plumb over my ship, when I'm thinking I'm going under, I'm not going to make it, the sweet Holy Spirit's business is to come and say, remember. And bring a verse to your mind. Bring a message to your mind. Oh, hallelujah. In other words, friend, listen, when you're in a storm, do not forsake your spirituality, but pursue it. Do not, my friend, get distant from the Holy Spirit, but get close to the Holy Spirit. Why? When the waves, my friend, are so, and this beat into your ship, so that your ship is now full, and your life is in jeopardy. Guess what? That does not silence. That does not silence the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a talking spirit. He is able to communicate. He's able to speak to your heart and say, remember? Remember? Oh, remember? And sometimes I'll tell you, here's where he starts with me. When I'm in one of the... And don't look at me that way. I'll get there too. If you'll notice on this head, there's not a halo and there's no wings, all right? Amen. I doubt seriously an angel wearing bibbed overalls. Amen. I know. You just fooled there for a minute, but I just let you in on the secret. I'm not. Amen. Oh, mercy. When them dark clouds come, as many of you are experiencing now, the storm severe, beating on and beating into your ship, and you feel like you're in jeopardy, and your feelings are, I'm perishing. Watch this. Holy Spirit says, remember, and here's where he starts me at. January 20th, 1981. You remember when the storm of sin was raging in your life? You remember that? You remember Middle Fork Baptist Church, second night of a 7-week revival? You remember that? You remember when Brother Randy Bain was preaching on the memorials of Exodus, and the second night was Exodus 12 about the Passover? Escaping the judgment of God because you've got the blood applied of a substitute. And I begin to say, hey, I remember. Oh, I want to tell you, how can you talk about the waves and how can you talk about the storm and the struggles when you're remembering that glad and glorious day that you passed from death unto life, that glad day that you met Jesus, that glad day that you were saved by God's grace. Remember? remember? And then he began to bring to my attention verses and promises and messages. Because see, messages that come through us is not just for you. They're for me. You get over it. Listen, friend, I'm going to tell you. You'll never be effective winning people to Jesus by getting over, going over. If you're living this I'm going under life, how many people's going to want what you got? If you're living this I'm perishing life, how many sinners are going to line up and say, please tell me what you've got, I need it? No. But when they see you go through the storms, and they see you go through adversity, and they see you encounter problems just like anybody else, amen, and they see you not quit, they see you sail on. They see you sail on. Let me deal with this right here, because some of you may not be coming back tonight. I hope that's not true. I hope y'all are coming back. You know what they could have said? They could have said, yeah, boys, we can't deny the storm. It's here. It's real. Fellas, we can't deny the fact that it's severe, and we can't deny this. We can't deny this. Our ship is full of water. It's full of water. A ship's full of water. You can't deny it, friend. One of the worst things you ever do trying to deal with storms is to deny the storm. But here's what not one of them said. Brother Clipper, not one of them said this. Yeah, preacher. Storm's big. Waves are high. Severe. It's dark. But we have not sunk. Not a one of them said. They admitted their ship was full of water. Brother Carroll, they admitted that. They saw that. That's even in your scripture. But not a one of them said, hey, fellas, you know what? I know it's full. And I know when something's full, you can't take no more. How many feel like you can't take no more? But look around a minute. Wait a minute. I know it's bad, but we're still sailing on. We're still sailing on. We've not sunk. The storm didn't cancel out what Jesus said. Our ship being full of the water didn't cancel out what Jesus said. We're sailing on. Oh, some of you have been going to come to church even this morning, possibly. And the devil said, yeah, I about got you. I about filled your life with all the problems. I about pumped your life full of difficulties. And you're about going under. Hey, won't you tell him, hey, devil, watch this. I'm sailing on. You thought you had me in the last storm. You remember that? And the storm before that. You thought you had me. You remember that? When you beat on me and you told me I was going under, and I even admitted it. I even said it myself. We perished. But just look around. You're still here. You're still going to church. You still believe God. You still have faith. Amen. And you're still going to the other side. And as I said earlier, had the ship sunk, God would have turned it into a submarine. They were going to make it one way or another, regardless, because He said so. They got over, going over, because they had forgot the message. They had forgot what Jesus said. Amen. Let's all stand our feet. Heavenly Father, we pray in Jesus' name that You'll speak to our hearts, that You'll work in us and work on us and work through us for Your glory. Lord, I'm keenly aware, God, that You've sent and are sending this message to us today. Lord, how many people, possibly even in this service today, they're aboard the ship of Zion and they're headed to the other side. And where once there was faith, now there's fear. And where once there was excitement, now they feel as though they're executed and they're perishing. Lord, they might need to just get in the altar and say, Lord, in spite of what I see, in spite of what I feel, in spite of what I hear, I choose to believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me, because You cannot lie. Your Word is backed by Your character. And I want to thank You for that. Lord, I know we're living in perilous times. The Bible says so. I know we're living in dark days. I know that. No doubt about it. We're not denying that, Lord. But please help me to not get over going over. Please help me at the church. Help us here at RBT that in spite of storms and in spite of the raging difficulties of life, Lord, don't let us get over going over. Lord, don't let these young people get over going over. Help them to stay excited about the other side. Oh, Father, please speak to our hearts with this message. Holy Spirit wants to direct our heart, guide us, bring to our remembrance the things that you have said. And Lord, when our life is not right with the Holy Spirit and our life is not close to the Holy Spirit, then Lord, how can the Holy Spirit bring to our remembrance the things which you have said? Lord, many struggle, many are casualties in the storm because of a distant relationship with the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to be intimate with the Holy Spirit so that you can bring to our remembrance the things that has been said. Have your way. In Jesus' name I pray.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.